Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the LOA Blend on Universal Energy Radio. Did that sound like really radio-ish?
It sounded like you're going to tell me about the traffic. Yeah. But that's okay. We like to mix it up on the LOA Blend. So your sexy co-host, that was Anna, founder of Universal Energy Radio, thankfully filling in for our favorite life coach, clairvoyant, numerologist, soothsayer, abacus designer, I just made that up, Elisa Banglin, who is traveling the, where is she now? I know they were just in Norway. I don't know if they're still there, but she's...
They're on the open sea right now. They're on the open sea.
They're on the open sea.
Open sea.
So happy for her. And fortunately, we don't skip a beat here, thankfully, because Anna, who takes care of business, being the founder of Universal Energy Radio, fortunately has stepped in. And I love it when she does, because it's the only time she and I really get to reconnect. The rest of the time, we're just busy running our businesses and taking care of our families. And that leaves...
That's right.
It really does. It like, people don't get it, you know? Like, one time, someone said to me, I don't know, about a year ago, because it's the last thing that we said to each other, you know, you just don't make time. You're just not a good friend. This is someone I've known for over 20 years. And you know what I said to her? I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. I cannot be who you want me to be. And I am too old for this.
Takes up too much energy.
Bye-bye.
I need to clarify something that you said in the intro.
Uh-oh.
I'm better on the abacus than Elisa.
Ooh!
Just to let...
Okay.
Oh, snap!
Well, you know what? She can't hear us, so we can say whatever we want. And I was just saying to you, Anna, before our show countdown, that I'm doing, you know, the same way that you could get away is how I can get away, which is hardly at all. And if we do it for, like, a long weekend, and that's, like, for normal people, a month, for us to get away with no partner, no kids. So my little getaway starts this Thursday morning, and I'll be back late Monday night. So it only means that I am not around for two shows. We could either be on hiatus, which we've never done before, or you can freestyle, whatever you want to do, but I'll be back on the air on Tuesday, a week from today.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I may blend it with some other person. We might get some other law of attraction, psychic, woo-woo person on here.
Why not?
That'd be kind of fun.
Well, that's
we'll
a great,
yeah.
thing. That's a great thing about the show.
Right?
We could do any.
Yeah.
We could have anyone on this show from any walk of life, and it would still be the LOA Blend.
Yep.
As long
yep.
as one of us, you know, one of the regular Universal Energy Radio hosts is, you know, other
one
than that,
triple
we can.
Trouble.
Yeah. Other than yeah. that, that's what's so great. It's very fluid, it's very open, and like the open sea. We like that.
Let me see. She was actually messaging me. Like,
she was? Moments. When?
Yeah. Well, she, you know, we were messaging through social media because that's the best, apparently the best internet access that she has.
I guess Facebook,
so,
right?
Yeah, she told me she would be on the, I'm guessing she's still on the open sea, because she said that it would be 2 days on the open sea. Let me just send her a message of where are you. She may not, she gets intermittent internet. They buy internet, but sometimes you just can't get it. So
yeah, I think that might be the case.
Yeah,
because I
sent her a message, like, where are you?
I love it.
Yeah, we were messaging at like 4 o'clock Eastern time, so it would have been 10:30. I think it was 4 something our time yesterday morning, and it was about 10 something her time. She was sitting on a boat in the middle of the ocean. And
oh my God,
so she said they had 2 days of open sea. And so we've been kind of messaging both about life and business.
Sure.
I am attempting to run her business, which after the weekend it gets a little crazy because everything has to sort of be neatly tied up. And so that's spent doing yesterday. It was neatly tying up her business. And then today I've got to go take care of my business.
Girl,
so,
P-C-O-B.
Yep. We've been RV shopping.
Oh, wow.
RV browsing. So I'm slowly letting go of stuff. So it's been interesting. We've got this this goal to hit the road here in about a year. So we'll see what happens then.
But that's, you know, intention, seed planting, leading with the heart, thinking about your beautiful family, the big picture. It's achievable. So it's a dream and an intention that just can only raise up in aspiration and vibration, as opposed to, oh my God, you know, growing up, unfortunately, I think most people from our generation, maybe a little bit after, maybe a little bit before, and then certainly way before, you would have an aspiration, have a dream, and you would dare to articulate it, and you would be made wrong for dreaming. That's just
right.
A dream. I'm like, ooh, mm-hmm. That's a crime? Stop daydreaming. And it's really funny because I know how you guys parent. I know what inspires me with my parenting. It's funny because in the very, very beginning, when I had a newborn baby, I did not know what the hell. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, who does in the first kid, first go around in the very, very beginning? And my intuition. Now, granted, my relationship with my mother is much better, but for the earlier part of my life, it was pretty painful for me, but whatever. But she's great now, and it's great, and I love her and appreciate every breath that we share together now. But I remember with my oldest son, my intuition just said, do the opposite of what you think you're supposed to do. Like, do the opposite of what you experienced.
Yeah.
And that as a baseline, that works.
Yeah.
That works. I'm like, oh, that works. So
yep.
For you to manifest this and that it's a dream that will have legs as opposed to that balloon that's going to be popped by the facts, which is different from the truth in my mind, by negativity, by disbelief. So good for you guys.
Yeah. And that's one part of my childhood that I want my kids to experience is traveling.
Yeah, but it was very joyful.
And camping was how we did it. I mean, we lived at the KOAs, the Campgrounds of America. And my dad's so funny. He listens to the show. My dad, he said, you know why we étonné.
Étonné.
You know
what? <sexy. laughs>
He said we couldn't travel and put everybody in. You know, when we traveled, there weren't just five of us, which is, you know, there were five in our family, but there was always like a grandmother or somebody with us, say a friend. So you had to get like, you know, two at least hotel rooms if you went somewhere. He's like, we couldn't go all the places that we went and like get all these hotel rooms or whatever. He said, we camped the majority of the time because that's what, you know, was feasible for us. And it was fun, you know, we never knew. We never knew that it was about budget or any of that. We just knew we were having fun.
Uh-huh,
and what I love is when we actually ended up in Georgia, we lived in South Carolina. I was like born in the West, raised in the South, you know, quite crazy mix up there. And moving from South Carolina, we were gone for 3 months. I mean, literally
Wow. Sold
just about everything. Went to out west to San Francisco, hopped on a plane, went to the Philippines, via Guam and Hawaii, came back. Now, we drove from South Carolina to San Francisco, did the flying, stayed in the Philippines for a month, came
oh
back.
Oh,
went over the top of the United States. Now, here's the cool part. My parents, I don't remember staying in a hotel. We stayed with people. My parents knew people. And these people were family, friends, and we visited. Now my dad's side, there weren't all the people. Well, some of his people were here, but my mom's side, she's got 12 brothers and had 12. There were 12 of them. So they were scattered. So we got to visit aunts and uncles, people that I knew them. It was just amazing. And as a child, you don't think about all the planning and all the things that had to go into that.
Know that now, right.
And then now, and have my parents actually release everything out into the universe and trust that, one, the family would be taken care of. We would have food and means and support along the way on our journey. We were gone for 3 months. We came back to Atlanta because I was 12.
How fabulous.
One of my things now is, like, you should take every preteen and take them to a third world country. They will come back appreciating everything.
Oh, I'm like, go USA. Yeah. We did the camping and all of that because we're from New York, but we used to spend 2 months for many, many summers for a great part of my childhood in Latin America. So I know what you're saying. I was like, where's my flag? Where's my Welch's? Where's my Skippy and where's my Welch's? Because it's a whole, people have no idea. Let's just deal with basic infrastructure.
Yeah.
God bless America.
I mean.
Yeah.
Really. We don't realize.
No, we don't.
Whether I joke around and say we have the illusion of freedom, and the way we live here is amazing. The way we have, you walk out my front yard. Here's how spoiled I am. My neighbor across the street, we handle his website and his marketing and stuff, and he does auto glass and he landscapes and he does our lawn. Now, I don't know what happened for the past week, but he was unable to get to our lawn, and so I went over and got in his garage, got the mower out and mowed the lawn. And just sitting here sounding like a spoiled brat going, I really don't want my lawn higher than X number of inches. That's what the regulation is, right? But at the same time, because Steph and I have this thing now, we're sitting out in the front porch on occasion having a cocktail, smoking a cigar, hanging out. Nice. And I just love looking at my front lawn and saying, I have this beautiful front lawn. It's those things that you appreciate, whether you have a lawn or not. Sometimes, that's why I want the loft space. I don't have a lawn. But anyway, we'll talk about that later after we RV, right? So we have all these dreams and all these things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it really is the things that we have here in the United States, and we just kind of glaze over. It's kind of like when I remember starting Universal Energy Radio saying, just look at the sky. Look at the clouds. Oh. And, sometimes I'm just back to that. I just want to look at the sky and look at the clouds and go, this is my journey. Love my journey. Feel my journey.
Well, that's why I love your tagline.
Be my journey. Yeah. And that's it. And when we get it, when we wake up to what's around us, to me that is so important. And like, again, just the mere fact that we live in a place that has so much abundance and so much opportunity, but so many of us that have it, we've been here all of our lives, we don't see that. And it took, taking me over at 12 to a third world country, or my little aunt who came over here so quiet and timid, who's now driving everywhere and gung-ho and watching them expand and grow. It's amazing to watch how Auntie Lumpia, who doesn't drive, how she gets around and how she maneuvers and how she does
it.
She manages. And they get it, and they're so appreciative and thankful because they came from a place they didn't have this abundance and this prosperity, and they couldn't manifest this way, not as easily. So anyway, da-da-da. Shall we take a caller?
Yes.
God
bless America.
We have people raising their hand. Let's get some people on the air. Let's do this.
Let's do it, control girl. Meaning that you're running the controls, not that you're controlling,
but
that you are at the controls. because
that's
kind of
funny you say that. There's a weird story behind all that too.
Oh, with
talk
the control?
About later.
Okay. Uh oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Area code 805. You're on the air with the LOA blend. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Caller, who's this?
This is Donna. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Have we spoken, or has it been a while?
A long time, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought
about
so.
A year.
So I'm just asking, yeah, okay. Asking for permission to reconnect to your energy, please?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you feeling confused, or there's some heaviness? I'm feeling some stuff going on with you. What's on your mind?
Well, my nephew died. He was 18.
Oh.
He died about a month ago, so I'm still sad over that.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
My sister and her family.
Yeah, I felt like there was something heavy, but there's a confusion. And I don't know if he suffered some confusion, but I'm getting the energy. Yes, I'm getting the energy of sadness and confusion, so you're confirming that for me.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, sweetheart.
Yeah, he took a synthetic drug. He never took a drug in his life, and it was like a mushroom drug, and the guy was supposed to be there with him, and he took it by himself, and 10 minutes later, he walked out of the house, and he died by the freeway on ramp a truck.
Oh.
Yeah. So my sister's feeling a lot of guilt that maybe she didn't put him in the right direction. He wasn't going into college. You know?
No.
I told her no. I said, make mistakes in life, right?
No. No.
Yeah.
And of course, listen, and I don't know whether you want to download the show and play it back to her or just share this,
okay.
however works for you, but I want to say something. What's your sister's name, please?
Desiree.
All right. Please let Desiree know. It was absolutely not her fault. 18 years old. Or 18 seconds old. It's not her fault. Very, very briefly, because this is not what this moment is about. But I can speak confidently. I had a child that died in my arms in infancy, and for a year, I blamed myself.
I can confidently
say that it is not her fault.
That
I can confidently say it is not her fault, and that in time, because this just happened, but he's going to let her know that. There will be signs that only she will understand, and she needs to trust them. But right now she has to cut herself a little bit of a break because her brain chemistry, tell her this, her brain chemistry is changing right now. And it's changing because we are not wired to comprehend with the logical conscious mind that we could, in fact, outlive our children. It's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So her brain chemistry, and listen, I am speaking, like I know what I'm saying. So it's going to take a little bit of time because her brain is trying to protect herself. So I would take a very educated guess that it's going over, and that's probably why I picked up the energy of sadness and confusion, that there's a confusion in her mind, like why, what could I have done? Why did this happen? So I was really getting that very, very strongly. Tell her that's the brilliance of the human brain. It is rewiring itself so that this can become a part of her. And not the guilt, not the shame, not even the loss, but the redefinition of who she is, walking in this experience and redefining her relationship with her son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there will always be a connection.
Yeah.
But that is being rewired in her brain chemistry, and it's being wired aspherically. But the veil to the other side is paper thin.
Yeah.
So this takes a little bit. It just takes a little bit of time. There actually is no word in the English language, and I would venture to guess in many languages for a grieving parent, meaning there's no word. Like, there, you could be a widow or a widower, or you could be an orphan. There's no word. So that tells you that the neural pathways that are so divinely designed for our survival and then to thrive are working overtime. And she's been in shock, and she has to retell this damn story over and over, and it's exhausted, and people are tippy-toeing, and it's so much work that if she slaps some water on her face and brushes her teeth, it's a good day. So she needs to lower her expectations for herself right now and just allow this to take the time. And it's a lifetime, meaning there won't be a moment, there won't be a day that she doesn't think about her child. That is impossible. But she will get, this is the hardest stage of it. And I'm going to turn this over to Anna, because in her own experience, she can also speak on this. So hopefully this will help. This will help the two of us. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Yeah, this is interesting. When you had said confused energy, I wrote down frantic. Like, I wrote down frantic as soon as she said something, and I was like, that's the energy of what's going on around the situation. I think it sounds like frantic. So it's about stopping that. And I also wrote down, he's not gone and ever and talk to him. He's still here. It's part of the journey. So, you're absolutely right. This is the toughest part. This is the part that really wears on your heart, speaking again from my own personal experience. And it's that time, and just know that hurt, it fades, it softens, it doesn't really completely ever leave you, but it will soften. And the beauty of it comes in when you allow that conversation, the etheric conversation, be still and be in the etheric conversation with him, because his energy is all around. And the interesting part now is that it's clear. His energy is clear. His energy is pure. And so you get a when you sit and be still, you have a better conversation with him. You're going to have clarity. You're going to have guidance. You can share stories and laugh. And I speak that for myself, because my experience was with my mom, and so it got to the point after sitting and being in the muck for about 2 years, finally woke up and said, you know, I didn't do this. This was not me. I had no control, and I think that was the biggest aha for me. I have absolutely no control over this situation, and it didn't just happen to me. You know, you're calling in for your sister. The pain for your sister is there. It's also there for you. But look at all the other people that this is affecting, and you have to say, I'm not the only one. So how do we take this and we make it into something that is palatable, something that we can experience in a way where we know that he's with us? And I think that's the key, because a lot of people in a moment like this, first of all, they say it's a loss, he's gone, you know, all those words, which are very harsh words. And when you say, no, he's not. His physical body, he decided to give it up. But his energy, one, more powerful, more omnipotent, everywhere. So you don't even have to go home to talk to him. You could be sitting in traffic and talk to him. You can talk to him anywhere. And when I realized that, the one thing that hit me was, it's like my mom had gone into another room and turned the corner. So I couldn't see her physical body, but I can still talk to her. And that's the experience that I've been having since she passed. Well, 2 years after she passed. So when you were talking, it's like, yes, you're right. This is there's nothing, absolutely nothing that we could do or say to help soothe her completely. Not going to happen. This is part of the journey. And when we keep reminding ourselves their energy is still here, and allow those conversations. I say signs at first, because at first we don't believe that we can have that conversation. We have to have the signs. I want acknowledgement. I had like some of the stuff, it's electronics, it's music. I would listen to a radio station that would not have played something like ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. And the song would come on and it would remind me of my mom. And I'm like, wait a second, that song is so out of the genre of what's supposed to be playing on this radio station. But then I thought, no, that's mom. That's my mom saying hi, you know. So when you keep an eye out for those signs, you know, and say, give me some signs. I want to know that you're here. I want to know what, you know, I want to know that you're a part of this. They do. They'll give you the signs. It's fascinating to me. But I think that's the key, is turning that, you know, again, it's not a party, you know, and knowing that this is about shifting your energy, and you as her sister. If you, to me, you get this. You understand what I'm saying, and I don't know if your sister, and right now she doesn't want to get this. Nobody wants to get this in that moment, you know. And if you can soften that for her and allow her to understand, he's still here. Talk to him, you know. Keep talking to him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to be with his energy, because we are all energy. And then we decide to come here in this physical body to mill about, you know, play with our senses, hang out, co-connect with each other in a way that's totally different than we do when we're in the etheric. So that is, to me, that's so important. And Liz and I both, we have personal experience with this. So not a child, and I have had several friends who have their children have decided to cross over, and it's a not easy situation.
There's no pretty word for it. I have a question. I'm just curious. So the person who sold this synthetic drug that was the cause of death, is there any repercussion, any aftermath, any accountability? Because I'm thinking about other kids. I'm thinking, as a parent of a soon to be 18-year-old, I need to ask this question.
No, it was on the phone. He texted the fellow at 1:30 in the morning and said he was having a bad experience. He took the drug early. His first time he ever took a drug, he was supposed to. I don't know, friends that they were going to take it together and watch each other.
No, I understand. I understand that.
And they can't prove it. They can't prove it. Yeah, so there's no repercussion about giving him the drug.
Does the person know that this happened? Do they know, like the kids, other kids know that this is?
Oh, yeah, 3,000 people attended the memorial. So the whole school attended, the whole school, the whole football team, everything.
So let's just take a breath and already receive the good work that this young man has already done. The ripple effect, the young lives that he has brought to attention about reckless choices.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether the person, the source of this, forgive me, but as a mom, I have to say this, the person who created the murder weapon, to me, it's no different than handing him a loaded gun. That's just, forgive me, that's just my opinion. It's just my opinion, so forgive me. I'm saying this with, I know, a lot of judgment, but we're going to judge once in a while in this life. We're human. So regardless that it can't be proved or not, it actually, in the scheme of things, and listen, this is the LOA blend. This is not the nightly news. So in the spirit of what this show is about and what Source is about and what the law of attraction is about, his punishment, he knows.
I know.
He knows. And guess what? He has to live with that, whether he's in jail or not. That is a, our suffering only is felt to the degree of our conscious minds. So you don't have to do a damn thing, because how do you live with yourself? And we believe in karma. So he will be his own judge and jury. How can you live with yourself, whether it was proven or not? None of our damn business. Not a thing we can do about it. We can't do a thing about you know, the snowstorm in February either. Out of our control. But trust and believe the good work that your nephew has done in his legacy, the possibilities for his mom to do good work in his honor. We don't know what lies in the chapters ahead. But the person who sold the murder weapon, let me tell you, he has to live with that. So it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. It's done. And your sister, she needs to just take her time. And this is advice that I really wish I knew. I wish somebody gave me this advice 21 years ago when my daughter passed. I wish somebody said, just take some time. Because 22 years later, I haven't stopped.
Wow.
Okay, now listen, I've accomplished a lot of great stuff, and that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons why I'm disappearing, I'm actually taking a little mini vacation by myself, a long weekend. I'm leaving Thursday, which is why I'm not doing a show Thursday and Sunday. And I'm going alone to visit a friend. It's because I need to catch my breath, because I never did it. I never did it. And I have no regrets in this life. But because I probably unconsciously felt that I didn't deserve it, that if I stopped, I might really feel the pain, although I was feeling pain anyway. So the advice I'd like to give to your sister is take your time. Take the time that you need to work this out, to let the shock wear off. Within 6 months of losing my daughter, I started a new job, and I was pregnant.
Oh.
What a maniac. And then I had a miscarriage.
Sorry.
You follow me?
So yeah.
I didn't take the time. So having that additional loss was the thing that needed to happen. Because I said to myself, I am in no shape to, and thank God I was young enough to, you know, keep trying, thank goodness. I was in my early 30s. So I had to say, check, please. Check, please. And the pregnancy before the one with my daughter who was full term, and I lost her after a few days after taking her home from the hospital, that was a miscarriage. So I felt like a total failure. Two miscarriages and sudden infant death syndrome. And I was working a job. They didn't even know at the job that I was pregnant. This is why I'm saying I didn't catch my breath.
Yeah.
And I still really haven't. I don't want that to be the case for your sister.
Yeah, she needs to grieve fully. She needs to grieve fully.
And everybody has their own style of grieving. That was mine. How much could I produce? How much could I create? How much? Think about it. You know, the ultimate act of creation is giving birth.
Yeah.
But there you go. But I never took the time.
Wow.
I was always at the bottom of the list. I still am, to a certain degree.
Yeah, it requires a lot of nurturing, huh? A lot of self-nurturing.
Yeah, and if you don't know how to do that, and the thing is, in the aftermath, this was before really embracing the spiritual side of my life. It was many years before being on the radio and all of that. It was a long, long time ago, and I saw a therapist. I got prescribed Prozac for a year. I got myself off of it because I didn't want to be on anything. And there you have it. But yeah, then it got to the point that the therapist was telling me her problems. Thank you. So that didn't work. You know, and I know look at me now. Hello, I'm talking to people on the radio. But the point being is, her path is her path, but to honor that she has one. I didn't even acknowledge that I had a path to grief.
Mm.
You know, and I commend Anna. She, you know, she says 2 years, whatever, but you know what? That was very healthy that she took those 2 years to just feel everything that she needed to feel or not feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of pushing it down.
Right. Or just running away from it, and that's what I did.
Oh, I could see that. I could see how somebody would want to do that.
I totally did it. I was, you know, I've always been an overachiever, you know, from just, you know, whatever my upbringing or whatever, it was an escape. And it was also the antithesis of self-worth. So to this day, that's a core issue, self-worth and abandonment. But to articulate it with grace and confidence, and that's the whole point, that she can go through this gracefully, because one of the definitions of grace is, you know, accepting what is unacceptable. Doesn't mean it's okay; just means it's what it is.
It is what it is, and you know, I told her he made a mistake. It had nothing to do with her, not teaching him well so he could go on to college or whatever, and he had no sense of direction, and I wouldn't
18.
Let her go there.
At 18, you know, it's
they're going to experiment.
It's no different. You know, we just hope as parents that our children outlive us. I mean, that if you want to just bottom line it, that's all we can hope for, but we have no control over it. So because of all these losses, I did manage to give birth to a biological son who's going into college, who's turning 18. So I really, my heart goes out to your family. But because of all the losses, I wanted more children. I adopted an African-American baby boy who's now 11.
Oh, my gosh.
So if I walk into a store and someone's giving him the side eye or whatever, I want to have him outlive me.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
No, you don't.
None of us
do.
So the point is, we all know racism is alive and well. And if you are a black male in this country, or pretty much any place in the world, you're kind of screwed. You're a target. So there we have it. But I can't live my life like that, thinking, oh, my God, he can't let me just keep it in a plastic bubble so he survives. When the time comes, and when he's a teenager, I'm going to lose my mind. There you go. What can we do?
I know, but, you know, it's just day-to-day in life. Day-to-day, you do the best you can.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. So this is the wounds are so fresh.
Oh, I know.
She just is she talking? Is she going to a support group? Or is she getting some sort of support?
No, I think they spoke about it. And this Saturday, it would have been his birthday, and we're all meeting at my niece's ranch. And, you know, a bunch of us are going to be in tents, and we're going to have a barbecue. But that's going to bring up sadness, too.
Well, the sadness, just put it this way, and maybe you can tell the other people. She's going to be sad no matter what. So, you know, and I wonder if you can relate to this. Someone would say, oh, my God, I didn't want you to think about it. And I wanted to say, I can't help but think about this. So relax. And then I found myself that I had to make everybody else feel better. And that's ridiculous. The person grieving has to make everybody else feel better?
No.
It's you live life, you're there, and sometimes the best thing to say is that there's no words, but I love you.
That's what we tell her. And before, I mean, this happened 5 weeks ago, and she wouldn't talk to anybody. But now she's opening up a little bit, and she's talking.
Good.
So
yes,
that's
you know what? You have to follow her cue, follow her lead. You know, if she's not taking care of herself, like her appearance and all of that, you could say, you know what? Let's go get a massage,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Little things, but follow her lead. Really, more about it's like don't tell me, show me. Meaning, observe her actions. More than, of course, listen to her and be very present with her. Really listen. The art of listening is really a dying art. People don't know how to listen anymore. I would say listening is so, so helpful. Just let her talk when she's up for talking. And then do gentle, loving things like getting a blow out of the salon, getting a massage, manicure, pedicure, taking a walk. You know, bringing her a cupcake, whatever, little gentle things. But don't put it on her. It's very unfair to say, what do you need? You know, when you're so jacked up like that, you don't know what you need. I need for my kid to not be dead. That's what I need.
Yeah, really.
So be careful. Maybe tell some other family members. Don't, if you're even asking her a question, like, what do you think about that? That's too much even. It's a burden. Don't ask her questions that is going to require a lot of thought. You know, almost think about how would you lovingly, not to be patronizing, but how you would lovingly engage someone that you adore, a child or whatever, but not to talk to her like she's not a mature grown woman. That is not my point at all. But whatever is the least taxing way, that's where you should ask questions, if at all, and really listen and do nice things to be action-oriented so she can see through actions and how she feels the support. Because people like to talk and then they don't back it up.
Yeah.
So talking doesn't mean too a whole lot in the with the onslaught of fresh, incomprehensible grief. Her brain, as I said earlier in the call, Donna, her brain is so hard at work rewiring itself. She doesn't have energy for anything else that's going to tax her mind. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. And just hold her hand, love her, be there for her. You know, if she bursts out crying, give her a tissue, say I love you, you know, just follow her lead. And look, we're here 3 times a week, so we're here for you guys. And I'm so, so sorry for the loss that your family is dealing with right now.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
It's an
honor.
Thank
you very much.
Yeah.
Take care.
Okay, sweetheart.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Girl, it's an honor to be trusted just in all the years of you having this radio station, this show in particular, is going on 6 years. It's an honor. We really have heard it all. We really have heard it all over on all the shows, you know, not just this one. I could only speak from this show doing it for so many years now, but to be trusted with such sacred information is very humbling. To be trusted for the two of us to support somebody that needs it.
I
I think it's, we were put in this place for a reason. And this is part of it. I mean, you and I have done a couple of good grief shows talking about this very thing.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy conversation to have with someone when you have, I call it a release. It's not a loss. It's just releasing of the physical body.
Exactly.
And that's the biggest one that you, I mean, even when you're in it, it doesn't feel so great because you're in it. And then you have to remind yourself that this is, you know, we're all energy. We're energy. There's like, you know, everybody's got a journey. And, you know, and sometimes you want to punch that in the face.
Yeah, like, shut up. Yeah, my kid's dead. Shut up. Sit down. My kid's dead. Like, what? So, yeah, I mean, give me a cupcake.
Yeah,
like, shut up.
I mean,
give me a cupcake and
like
give
my
me
mom,
a drink.
Yeah, my mom's not here. What am, you know, what am I
supposed
to do about
that?
Yeah, that
means nothing. That means nothing,
nothing
at that time.
Yeah.
It means nothing. You have to honor that. You have to honor the ugly part of it. That's life. We have to honor that and not resist it and not bury it and not put up appearances for people. And no. So I think that was very wise of you to take those 2 years. I should have done that. You know, you took those 2 years
well,
to just go there.
Well, but I didn't consciously use it the way I probably should have used it.
Well,
I was
we know
very
that
much,
hindsight, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
It was very much just wanting to kind of get away. You know, the human spirit is so resilient, though. And, you know, you think about this is that, you know, I didn't even want to be here. Didn't want to be on the planet. And
I know,
It was because you, for me, you know, when you were talking, I said it was about home. Like, mom equaled home. Even though I have my own house, I have my own stuff. Mom was gone. I did not have a place to go for comfort and for hugs and for all that stuff.
Yeah.
My pot roast, you know.
Oh, listen, I'm terrified when my mom goes.
Everything.
I'm terrified. I really
everything.
Get that. Yeah.
So it was you basically pulled my foundation out from under me. That's really
what happened
for 2 years.
It makes perfect sense.
And then, but laying on the floor and just saying, you know, finally heard those voices because I finally stopped moving because I was just doing things. I was doing stuff, but I wasn't doing it with any intent or doing it from a place of purpose. It was just the hamster on the wheel.
But that's all you were capable of doing.
It's
that's
all you're capable of doing, right.
That's it, exactly.
Pounding, yelling and pounding the walls and then, you know, I just decided, finally, like I said, laying on the floor, literally in the fetal position, and had, you know, just that voice that said, this didn't happen to you. This didn't happen to only you. You're not the only one.
Exactly.
And it was like that wake-up call. It's like, whoa, wait a second. And then from that point, like I said, it got so exhausting that I had to step out and just yell at God and say, you know, take me off the earth or give me an answer. And boom, here's
so
the
painful.
Answer. And boy, did that answer come in such a rush? And one thing led to another, and here we are.
Here we
you know,
are
talking about this
on the LOA blend so many years later, right? Right. Isn't that amazing? And I welcome all the dark aspects of my experience because it really gives us an authentic platform of support when we get callers. Like even another reason why I'm leaving town is because I have clinical exhaustion and I have anxiety as a result of that. That's not cute. Mm-hmm. It's not cute. But guess what? I am so fortunate that it's something that is environmental and I just need rest. So I'm doing that. I'm stepping out of the frame for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But do I have an awareness and an acknowledgement of how the depths of mental illness can really go left?
Yeah.
I got a little taste of that. I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. You know, just when you're at the party and they have it like on the little like fancy spoon that looks like an Asian soup spoon. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, this little, no thank you. But enough to know that if a caller had an issue that dealt with actual, not metaphorical anxiety, but like baseline diagnosable anxiety, I, with some confidence, could speak on it. So I'm grateful for the exhaustion to show that to me.
Yeah.
Because I will now, there's so much, so many homeless in New York City, so all over the place, and so much mental illness, and I can really see, wow, I can really see that the broken branches of the tree, as opposed to a separation. Oh, no, I'm not going to get my hands dirty. Well, guess what? They are.
Yeah.
All of our hands are dirty.
Yeah. I think when you get to that point, I mean, you and mine has, you know, I've kind of chuckled. I say this is either, you know, part of menopause or, you know, haven't had it in a while. I will say that it's more the beginning of the year, but it's the same, like something similar. I don't know. You're almost at the point where I need to go and see about this and figure it out. But it was what I told Stephanie was it was like two split personalities. Part of me knew energetically
what I
needed to do. The other part is like over there freaking out, right? So, you know, you have to look at those things and say, okay, how do I change things in your life? Like, I am not so frantically busy anymore. I stopped all that. I had to. I don't do a lot of the things. And it's taken me a while to back out of things. But I've done it, and I can say now, I think we were having a conversation yesterday, it's like, I'm not the same person I was a year ago.
Nope.
I'm very different, and things are different for me. Now, some of that stuff doesn't feel so great sometimes because stuff, it's the up and out.
Right.
You know, Steph and I are talking about that. It's the up and out. The stuff has to come up. These realizations have to come up for every single one of us in whatever situation that you're in. And if you're getting to the point where you've got, you know, shortness of breath or anxiety, or you're getting up with, you know, I say night sweats, but part of that is menopause. But you know what I'm saying?
Is.
When you,
right. Yeah,
when
yeah,
you
yeah.
have these things, you have to say to yourself, there isn't, you don't, and I am not going to say don't go to the doctor and don't take the pill. I understand that. But that is a wake-up call to shift something in your life,
absolutely.
Shift how you're being in your life. And then that, to me, that's the key. And once you do those things, you shift, you find a group of, you know, like-minded people that you just want to go sit in the room with. Or
listen.
Sit, like yesterday, I sat in the chair, and I got my big crystal bowl out, and I'm playing the crystal bowl, and I'm just sitting in my meditation chair. And
good
it's
girl.
Like, I probably spent a good hour just doing that. It's like, I just what I wanted to do.
Got to shift it. Got to shift it. Yeah,
so,
I'll do like 5-minute meditation breaks or whatever. But one thing that I would recommend for menopausal symptoms, which helped me a lot, is acupuncture.
Yeah.
It will really help with the split personality and with a lot of stuff, but it is the, I think you guys put it so perfectly, the up and the out, where, and it almost seems like you're blindsided by that, but that's when it's going to have the most impact, because it's completely unexpected, completely unpredictable, completely unexpected, so it seems like such a shock, which is why it's like, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde
type of syndrome,
but that's where it's going to get your attention the most. So
you want to try to grab one more caller here?
One last call before I go to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico.
Good morning, ladies.
Here he goes.
Who is that?
Good morning. This is Marguerite.
Oh, hey, darling.
Hi. Oh, gosh. You had so many topics this morning, I need to call in.
I thought about you, actually, during the call. I thought about you.
You know, the universe is not very big because we're all connected. In one way or another, we are connected. And the first caller, I send my sympathies to their family, because this morning I was getting these thoughts of the day that everything happened with my daughter.
Right.
The process and everything up to it. And why am I getting this? Because, you know, I've already, you know, it's done. I've gone through it. I don't understand why am I, okay, so let it go. And then I hear this caller and I'm like,
well, that's why.
Oh, gosh.
That's why.
So this
that's
is the
why.
Connection. And I just love that, even though it was not the connection that a lot of people want, but it's, you know, my daughter's coming through and bringing somebody with her. And it was just, to me, it was kind of, and I don't know how to describe it, but it was, I was filled with love because the person that she was talking about, this boy, I want to say boy, because he doesn't, right now in the physical, he cannot experience what we're experiencing.
Right.
But he is, he is saying he is fine. And until we can, you know, understand, which we won't until we are on that time, the pain is always going to be with us. So, you know, I feel for the mother that she's going through. But, yes, she's got to go through it.
Yes.
Some don't. I know some that have, you know, it's been years and years, and they struggle. And it's we can't tell somebody what to do. We can't, you know, we can only be there. We can support them. And, yeah, we can listen. And
Listen,
like you, I didn't have that, and the support was not there.
Right.
And you just, you know, you got to take it when you can. If you get a phone call and somebody calls, how you doing? Sometimes let them talk and let them do it, you know, how was your day or something, because that's what you want. You don't
right.
want necessarily to have them telling you what to do, but it's the interaction. It's to having another voice you can
right.
hear because you're missing one.
Right.
And I'm not going to go in anymore, but I want to go into Anna's little quest of her RV. And I just have to say, we bought one over a year ago.
Oh, wow.
First.
That's right.
And, but because it's an older one, and I kept saying, you know, do we really want to put money into this one? Or, you know, I keep that. We want to retire. We want to take it. We want to go places. So we went out a week ago and we looked at one. He goes, okay, this is it. We can afford it. We can pull it. We can do this.
Wow.
And we brought it home last Saturday. We didn't tell anybody, not even my son. I said, you know, it's just surprising. And we had to tell him why we were taking the other one. And my husband was, well, we're going to get something fixed on it. So we're taking it back. And we brought this other one home, and I walked in the house, and Josh kind of looked at me and goes, well, we couldn't fix the other one. He goes, well, we probably didn't need it. He didn't even put two and two together that we had another one. So
right.
I said, but we got this one. And he goes, okay. And until he went in it, he didn't, that there wasn't anything physical. It's a tangible thing. It's like, I see something, but is it there? So now it's like, okay, and I had my daughter come over the next day after we got some stuff in it. And camping, growing up for me, for my family, my siblings, that was the highlight of our year, because we had 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks in August, my dad would take off, and we would go from Illinois, usually south and east. And we would go down to Alabama or Georgia, Tennessee, to the coast, because we had family members in Virginia. We'd go to Carolina. But that was the most enjoyable time we had, because we camped. We didn't go into a hotel. We didn't, you know, luxury. This was great, because as kids, you know, you could run around, you could bike, you could swim, you could all this stuff. It was great. We would take turns. So my older sister and brother, they would invite one of our cousins. So it would always be like six of us before my younger brother was born. So I was like, okay. So it was always a lot. We were, you know, we'd meet new people, camping, and I pen pals growing up with somebody from Canada, and we actually met them twice in the same area. It was back in Illinois at a state park. They came back a couple of years later. So it was interesting how we, you know, we kept in touch. And I think now a lot of them don't. You go camping for a couple of days, or you go someplace, you might meet somebody, but there's not that long-lasting friendship. Or
right.
You know,
I guess it's social media.
It brings you back home.
Right.
And it brings, like for me, that's one. So we're trying to bring that. Get that in my kids involved, like my son or my grandkids. So let's, you know, we're trying to
beautiful.
We'll take one.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we have this in common with Anna.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys should compare notes.
Yeah, and the one big highlight of this one now in my life is going to be when, and we've talked about this since we went to Florida a couple of years ago, we want to spend a couple months in Georgia with the trailer, but we want to go to Tybee Island.
Yeah.
And they have a campground there. We want to go there.
Yeah.
And that way we could travel south, we could go west, and we could do whatever we want. But we have, we'll be in one place to stay, but we can still travel.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Look at that, though. You're going to be like the RV twins, you and Anna Banana.
We'll have to connect the dots because we've got a big map in our dining room now, and we're like putting pins where everybody wants to go. You talk about Tybee. Mm-hmm. My brother actually just bought a house on Tybee. So, he's working on it, the RBO.
Okay.
We were talking about, actually, Steph and I were talking about Charleston and Savannah. So we have all these places that we want to take the kids. And, I mean, we've taken them places. Just, it's nice for us to be able to go. We want to go and stay for, like, 2 months at a time, 3 months at a time. So explore the area. Places that we've never been, so it's interesting. It's going to be interesting. The idea now is, you know, we're basically moving into something that's 10% because we're literally going to rent the house out. I mean, we're going to clean everything out and then just rent the house out and literally get on the road. So home base will probably
look at
be
you.
Like my dad.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're taking flight. I mean, I see, like, the wings. It's so beautiful. The two of you. So this is a perfect opportunity to sign off and wish everybody well. So I'll be gone just for two shows. I'll be back a week from today, very groggy. Hopefully my flight will get in. I'm supposed to get in very late on Monday night. But I will, you know, I'll have lots of coffee on Tuesday morning. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. Check, I guess, on Blog Talk. Check to see what Anna has in mind for the next two shows. So I'm not going to say when we're going to be on next. I'll be back a week from today, the usual time, 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And in the meantime, beautiful Anna, please leave us with your tagline.
So remember that life is your journey. Be happy where you are and watch where it takes you. Thank you. Love you, ladies.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.